stories about people getting really sick and then their lives drastically changing. Guess what? Here's another one. So in 2016, I got pretty sick and I could not get rid of this cold that was seemingly just a common cold. It kept coming and going and it kept getting worse and worse until I started developing asthma. It got to the point where I had to admit to myself that maybe there was something more going on, that maybe there was something in my energetic system that was preventing me from truly getting better and getting back into my energetic rhythm, my energetic flow. Something had to give. I was sharing this with a friend one day, and she recommended I see a shamanic energy healer. So I went to this shamanic energy healer, and a whole new world opened up. It felt like coming home. It felt like remembering the truths of who I am and what I already know, but I needed reminding of. Suddenly, the world felt less scary, less alone, and my life is now driven by my inner knowing, not by fear. My name is Madeline Corliss. I am the creator of The Energy Studio. Welcome to The Energy Studio Podcast. All right, hello, hello. Welcome to this episode of The Energy Studio Podcast. I think this might become a thing. I don't know. I do it in all my group classes. So just take a minute. Close your eyes. If you're driving, please don't close your eyes. But if you're somewhere where you can close your eyes. Take a deep breath all the way down into your belly. Let it all go. And just ask all parts of yourself to come back to you. Anything that might have been left at some point during the day. Either a mental cord or an emotional cord, something. Things sometimes linger, so let's just bring all parts of you back into yourself so you can be here and present in this moment. Yeah. All right. Today we are going to talk about the dark night of the soul. So I'm straight up just reading these from my computer, but just to give you a definition of the dark night of the soul. A nerdy creator blog says, "The dark night of the soul is a term that is commonly used to describe a period of spiritual transformation. During this dark period, one feels depressed, lost, and lonely. Everything seems meaningless, hollow, and empty. Depression and the dark night of the soul are different things. They can definitely feel very similar. And I do think that they relate to each other for sure. Another definition that I pulled up was, the dark night of the soul happens when a person goes through a period of sadness, confusion, and despair. Sometimes the dark night of the soul is triggered by a crisis. Other times it's the result of a long period of emptiness or an awareness of unhealthy family dynamics and patterns. So that goes into a little bit more of it, but the dark night of the soul, in my experience, one kind of snuck up on me. I had felt it coming on, and then it was like, and here we are, in the storm. And it really like knocked me out for a while there. And earlier today, a client of mine said, you know, I thought that I was just dealing with some depression, but I'm realizing now that it's so much more complex than that. And this was her recognizing that she is in the midst of her dark night of the soul. And I was so glad that she said that because it's so, so true. So a few things about the dark night of the soul. It really is a spiritual awakening. And, you know, it's not necessarily fun, but it is incredibly, incredibly rewarding. And it is that painful transition between being who you thought you were supposed to be and what you thought you wanted to be and being so strongly influenced by the people around us and the society that we live in and what they tell us that we want to be and what they tell us success is, and then realizing that we are not fulfilled by those things. Those things give us false power. And we start to see in the dark night of the soul who we truly are and how we operate in the world. And it's scary, and it's beautiful, and it's so, so exciting. I've been on this kick in the last, honestly, 24 hours. I'm recording this the day after Joe Biden was announced to be the next president of the United States. And Yesterday, a thought that kept coming to mind is that darkness is not evil. We frequently see, and even in the spiritual community, we talk about the dark and the light, and a form of spiritual bypassing is just always focusing on the light and not looking at our shadows, not looking at the darkness and the trauma. And there are some schools of thought that say, well, that happened in the past, it doesn't affect us, but that's not true. Our past and our stories and the things that we have inherited, they are what put us on the path that we are on in this lifetime, and that path is important. So I think there is a lot to be said for being willing to look at your demons, to look at those things that scare you, to look into the darkness and recognize that the light finds its way through the darkness. Going back to the dark night of the soul a little bit here, this is something that's considered shadow work. And I really think that shadow work is some of the most powerful work that we can do as healers and as humans and as people who are evolving into their true selves. So I want to share with you my experience of my dark night of the soul. Everybody's dark night of the soul is going to be different because we are different human beings. We have different sets of circumstances. However, I found great comfort in hearing about my friend's experience, because I also had been there and witnessed her experiencing it without really knowing that that's what she was experiencing. I think that I felt it coming on. I had just had this big period of change in my life. I had moved into my own apartment and I had just come off this contract where, you know, our ego brain, tells us all these stories about like, everybody's gonna care that I did this show in the middle of nowhere in the country, and then I'm gonna come back and be a star. That's just like not how it works, unfortunately. Maybe fortunately, I don't know. So I came back from this show with all these big hopes and dreams that, of what would happen immediately and on my timeline. The truth was, I was not ready for those things to happen yet because I had not gone through my own shit. And so there were some family things that I'm not going to go into on here, but there were some family things that came up, and I can't even explain to you what happened. Just all of a sudden, like I was down and out. And, one thing that people will talk about is that a dark night of the soul is sometimes triggered by a big life event. So whether that is, you know, losing a job, losing a family member, whatever that is, sometimes there is a trigger. Sometimes there isn't. Ending a relationship is another big one. And so my trigger happened to be something happening to somebody in my family. And it hit me on a level that I was like, this does not feel reasonable. Like it quite frankly felt like I was overreacting. I then later discovered some inherited ancestral trauma and some past life trauma that hadn't been unhealed that accounted for why I had such a strong reaction to this event. But that event triggered my dark night of the soul. And I remember going to my friend Kristen, who I talk about her a lot on this podcast. She's been very influential in my spiritual life. And at that time, we had just moved into apartments down the hall from each other. And I remember going to her apartment, probably to like pick up a book or something. And she asked me, she was like, how are you? And I was like, you know, I'm just really struggling. And I was just so honest with her. And I don't even think I went into all the details. She knew what was going on. And she said, yeah, that's perfectly normal. And I had this wave of relief of, oh my goodness, there's not something wrong with me. I am experiencing being a human. I am experiencing a human event. And that human event is not wrong, it's not bad, it's not fun, but it is part of being a human. And it suddenly felt like a rite of passage instead of this doomsday thing that I was experiencing. And so that gave me extreme calm and the reminder that it's okay to go through these periods of time and to need to grow and evolve and to take a break. So another aspect of this is that I had told her I had been feeling so guilty because I did not want to audition, which had been my entire life in my adult life. Like, auditioning and doing theater, that was everything to me. And I was like, I just, like, don't feel the desire to go to these auditions, to prepare for these auditions, and it feels like it's a waste of my time, because if I go, I'm not fully present, I'm not doing my best work, and I just feel like I'm ruining my reputation with these casting directors. And I was being really hard on myself about it. And she was like, that's allowed. Like, you're allowed a period of time where you don't audition. That doesn't mean you're not an actor. You are allowed to have a period of time where you are not showing up 110% for everything. That does not diminish who you are and your value as a human being. I gave myself the freedom to do the bare minimum. And I've talked about this a little bit on my Instagram post, but the bare minimum is, what are the things that I need to do to survive? So for me that summer, my bare minimum was showing up to acting class. I needed to just be there. And there were, quite frankly, days where I would show up so unprepared and I'm not supporting going to class unprepared, but I would show up to class and I knew that I just had to show up. That was my requirement. My requirement was not to change the entire way that I was acting or change my structure. It was purely to just show up and do something creative and artistic. Another thing on my bare minimum list, going to work. I just had to show up for work. I had to do my job. I had to make the money. Fine, done. Another thing was eating food. I just had to make sure I ate food. If it was takeout, it was takeout. Fine. I had to just do the bare minimum. And every other time that I had what, I don't mean to sound like bleak and depressing, but quite frankly, was just spent crying, meditating, sleeping, or watching The Office. I really needed something lighthearted. And that's how I spent a good 3 months of my life. And to be totally honest, I've realized this recently, I don't remember most of that summer. And there were incredible deep healing things that happened in that summer. I was meeting with my energy healer, I think like once a month or something at that time. I was really leaning on my community, on my friends, and thank God I had a community and friends who understood this, because, man, I would not have stayed sane, I don't think. But anyway, I just accepted that this is the storm that I'm going through, and I am in a storm, and the storm will pass, and I don't know when, and I don't know how, but I am just gonna keep walking. And that's what I did. And I was like, great, I did my summer, and then like things are gonna blast off for me after this. And the part of my reasoning for that was that Kristen had gone through her dark night of the soul, and she gave herself, this was something she told me to calm, to help soothe my system. She had given herself this extended amount of time to do her bare minimum. And then when she was ready, she started auditioning again. She started doing the work again. And this girl booked so quick, and like things just aligned so beautifully. And it was like, wow, she could have spent all this time, quite frankly, wasting her time showing up to these auditions, not being fully in herself, needing to be taking care of herself and ignoring that. But instead, she took the time to take care of herself, to nurture herself, to listen to her own intuition and listen to that voice that was saying, don't be auditioning right now. And then when the time came, things took off, and that's what needed to happen. So I held on to that, and I was like, look, if it happened for her, it can happen for me. And I was like, when I'm out of this, things will happen, and they will happen quickly. That's the way I believe the universe works. So I gave myself that time, and then I started dating this human who, our relationship was maybe not the best and probably not the healthiest. However, I do think that it served its purpose. I learned so, so much about myself, about relationships, about what I want in a partner and what I do not want in a partner. And he was a really great mirror for me to learn a lot about my own codependency, and then to start to recognize the codependent patterns that I had grown up around, and then start thinking about what were the examples in my life and how do I instinctually behave versus how do I want to behave? So he brought a lot of awareness and clarity into my life. And it might not have been in the most easeful way, but, you know, we got there as we needed to. But that was really like chapter two of Madeline's Dark Night of the Soul. The thing that was interesting to me about chapter two was that I had gone through the depression. I'd gone through the deep rest. I've gone through the, you know, living off of takeout and the office. And I had gotten the rest that I needed to start doing minimal things again. I was being very easy with myself. And that's when the search for Roxy happened for me, where I had just, the last thing that I had done was Roxy Hart in Chicago. And I was like, you know what? I can record a 2-minute video. So I just put my creative energy into that. And I made that video. And I got a call that, or I got an email that I was in the top 10. And I was like, oh my God, it's happening. Like this rush afterwards of like great success is happening. I mean, it was. This story is not going to like, it wasn't. Life sucked. No, that's not how this is going. That experience was the reminder to me that even when I am resting, the work that I have already done, my reputation, the materials that I have online, all of these things, the world and the universe and your guides are still working for you. Things are still moving in the world to support you, even when it does not feel like you are working. My Dark Night of the Soul really instilled in me that I can have faith and I can trust the universe is working on my behalf, even when it feels like I am unable to work. And for anybody who did not follow, I did not win, but that's okay. Because I ended up getting an agent out of it. And that was the thing that I really, really had been working towards and had seen as my next step. And it was just further testament to the fact that I was not auditioning. I went from doing like 150 to 200 auditions a year to doing maybe 3 in all of 2019. And that's just what I needed at the time. And that was okay. And I got an agent. I got out of that relationship. There was some major healing that needed to be done. And because I had been going through this dark night of the soul, I let myself have that healing. I let myself grieve. I learned a lot about grieving. And I let myself evolve into who I wanted to be. And then the pandemic hit and, you know, and so be it. But the moral of that story is that I gave myself the time and the things happened anyway. The things that were supposed to happen happened. And it was okay for me to take that time for myself. And I think frequently we have this fear that if we take time for ourselves and we nurture ourselves, everything, all the plates that we are spinning will come crashing down. And that's simply not true. Yes, some plates might fall down, but those are going to be the plates that you didn't need anyway. So I want to circle back now. I wrote some notes. Let me bring up these. The things that I experienced in my dark night of the soul. 1, not really wanting to work. Not feeling like it was worth me going to audition and do these fulfilling things. So I did the bare minimum. I felt exhausted. I felt depressed and I felt anxious and it was really hard and it was really scary at times, but I used the levity of comedic television and also the support of my friends to get through it. And I also held on to the knowledge that this is normal. There is nothing wrong with me for having these deep feelings, for going through this shift in my understanding of the world. I also experienced a huge rewiring of my brain, of my understanding of who I am, of what I want to do in the world, of who I want to be around in this world. And sometimes I'll talk about little deaths and how pieces of us die so that new pieces can come in. It's like computer downloads where we have to clear out the things that are no longer serving us, that are not being used, so that new software can be downloaded and there can be an upgrade. This is like the hardest reboot that one goes through. And So all of a sudden I had this new understanding. I was starting to recognize unhealthy family patterns, unhealthy patterns in my relationships in general. And the biggest thing is I learned to grieve. I learned that even beautiful, good things need to be grieved. I can grieve the ending of a chapter. I can grieve things that were not even there. I can grieve that in this certain situation, my family could not show up for me in the way that I needed them to. I can grieve that. I can be sad about that. That is allowed. And I think that most things in life need grieving. Like, I honestly, I love grieving. I think it is a fabulous tool. And I think it's so beautiful because it's acknowledging what was, the truth of what was, and acknowledging that that is no longer, or that that is the way that it is. And I think it's incredibly powerful. And it's that cry that you have where afterwards you just feel amazing and you feel like, oh, I feel cleansed. Grieving is cleansing. It is healing. And a fabulous book that I highly recommend to anybody who thinks that they are either on the verge of a dark night of the soul or grieving or whatever you are going through, All Things Fall Apart is a beautiful, beautiful book that was sent to me while I was in the middle of my dark night of the soul. And it talks about how our culture has this illusion that when X happens, I will be happy. Or when I get to this point in life, when I'm married, when I have a house, when I have kids, when I own a car, when I am the top of my career, I will no longer experience pain. I will hit this point in life where I am always joyful. And this was part of my rewiring of my dark night of the soul, was discovering that that is not true. That we put this idea of joy all the time on a pedestal. And I hate to be the one to break it to you if this is new, but that's just not true. We will never reach a point in our lives where we feel joy 24/7, where there is no conflict ever, where there are no disappointments, there's no frustration. That's just not a part of being a human. And what Things Fall Apart talks about is that our job is not to control the waves. Our job is not to control the water. Our job is to learn to surf. And sometimes we are going to fall off the surfboard and we get back on. Sometimes the water is going to be calm and it's going to be fine and great and it's going to feel like a picnic in the park. And other times there are going to be raging storms. And the lesson that I believe we all have to learn as part of our dark night of the soul is how to surf. How do you surf? Because everybody has different ways. For me, I learned that I have to let myself rest. I need nature. I need funny TV shows, and I need my community. And that is what keeps me on my surfboard. There's another thought that people have been talking about in the spiritual community that I fully stand behind, that our country is currently going through a dark night of the soul, that we hit a point where we can no longer operate in the way that we were operating. Deep change was needed. A deep rewiring, and we're in a dark night of the soul. And that's scary. It's frustrating. There are days where even though we know that this is the way we need to go, we just want the ease of how things were, but we know that that is not good either, that is not where we want to end up either. We don't want things to be the same. And it has called for great radical change in our country. Oh, I did not anticipate this going here, but I am so grateful to have a leader like Biden stepping into the office, because in his speech alone last night, his, I don't know what it's called, his acceptance speech, that's the word that's coming to mind, such a theater person over here. But in his speech that he gave, there were words that he used where in my soul, I recognized that he is a healer. He understands grief. He has gone through the dark night of the soul. He has gone through this. He understands loss. And I really think that there is immense beauty in somebody who has that experience and recognizes how to get through it. He has gone through his own loss. He has gone through great pain. A lot of shamanic healers have had similar experiences. I mean, here I am. In a lot of cultures, shamanic cultures, and I also just want to point out that shamanism is something that is among most cultures of the world. There's Celtic shamanism, there's Norse shamanism, there are more like Native American based belief systems, but it's all based in the same premise. The things that change slightly is like a few traditions, but shamanism and this way of thinking is a part of, I would say arguably, everybody's ancestry, everybody's culture. And there were things in his speech that just made it so clear that he understands the trauma, the process of being wounded and healing, and he knows how to get from point A to point B. He has firsthand experience of this. And it just became so clear that he is the person to heal our country from this dark night of the soul. He is the leader to lead us out of this and into this new understanding where we get to be who we want to be and who we know we are supposed to be. So that's my two cents about that. But bringing back to our country is experiencing a dark night of the soul. I think it is triggering a lot of people to experience their own personal dark nights of the soul because we are seeing it happen around us. We are strongly influenced by our surroundings. So we are seeing this need for change. We are starting to see the flaws in our system. And that's a big thing that happens when you're in your dark night of the soul. You start to see the flaws in your family systems, in your work systems, in all the systems. You start to see, wow, I have operated this way for a long time and I no longer believe this is healthy and I don't want to do that anymore. So that's a big part of it. And that's hard to come to terms with. And it takes a lot of courage. That's another thing about the dark night of the soul. It takes so much courage. So if you are either going through it or you have gone through it and you are helping others through theirs and you are giving them that support and allowing them to just speak their truth and holding space for them, that is the biggest thing you can do for somebody in their dark night of the soul, I really believe, is help them feel like it is okay, that they are normal, and that going through this process does not mean there is something wrong with them. It just means that they are in a storm and they are walking through a storm and they don't need to be fixed. They just need support and they need to know that you are there for them. There's a lot of weeding out that happens in Dark Nights of the Storm or like after Dark Nights of the Storm when people realize like, oh, I don't actually like want that kind of thing in my life anymore. Cool. And that's scary and that's a transition. And sometimes people change careers and they're like, wow, I want something different for my life. And, you know, lots of things happen. So to wrap all of this up, I feel like I'm starting to ramble, so it's time to end. I believe that we all have two choices when we start to come to the storm. One, we can try to outrun it and we can spend our lives saying, nope, that's not a thing. I don't feel that way. We can live in extreme denial. And that's quite frankly, very difficult to be for me to be around. I think it's difficult for a lot of people to be around. You can push it away. You can try and run away from it. And that takes a lot of energy. And I really think that that robs you of energy that you could be putting elsewhere. But also if you have to outrun it for a little bit, totally understand. You are allowed to do that. You're allowed to do whatever you feel called to do. And then I think your other option is to acknowledge, all right, the storm is here. The storm is coming. And you can just sit and wait for the storm to pass. The storm will guide you towards what you need to do. And you can find coaches. I am happy to coach anybody who is struggling with their dark night of the soul. I think it is one of the most beautiful experiences that we as humans go through. I think there is great beauty in the darkness that we frequently ignore. And find your community, find your support, and know that you are not alone. Hundreds of people have gone through this before you. You can get through this, but you have to show up for yourself. And you have to decide that you are going to get through this and that you are going to be pleasantly persistent and patient and just go through the roller coaster that it is. I really think that when you lean into that, you come out faster, you come out stronger. And then you get to experience the joy of wild success that feels so aligned with who you are because you know who you are, just falling into your lap, and magical things just happening for you in your life because you are in alignment with your true self. And when things are in alignment, it's just like plumbing. When things are in alignment, things flow. It's so exciting. And my hope is that if you are listening to this and you are going through your dark night of the soul, or feel like it's coming on its way, or, you know, you just experienced it, is that you can have faith that you are strong, you are courageous, and that it is okay to be scared, and it is okay to go through what you're going through, and to find comfort in that. So that's all I'm going to say for today. If you'd like to set up a one-on-one coaching, I would love to talk to you more. I do a free consultation session at my website, the-energy-studio.com. And other than that, I hope you have a lovely, lovely day, and we'll talk soon. Bye. Thank you for listening to the Energy Studio podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, send it to a friend, spread the word, click subscribe, click like. I don't really know how all this stuff works in the podcast world, but do all of the things to support it. And if you would like more information about the Energy Studio, about shamanic practices, or you'd like to set up a free one-on-one consultation, head on over to my website, the-energy-studio.com. Or you can head over to our Instagram, which is at the.energy.studio. If you liked the music at the beginning of this episode, head on over to anywhere where music is listened to and or sold, and check out the Heartstrings Project, or you can also follow them on Instagram at the Heartstrings Project. They're freaking awesome, so head on over and check them out.